Your Bibles this morning, we'll turn over in 2 Peter in the first chapter. 2 Peter in the first chapter. I believe the Lord has laid on our heart for this service. And I want you to get everything out of this service that you can. And I want you to be obedient unto the Lord from the youngest to the eldest in this place. God's got to work for every person in here. And young people, you might think, well, when I get older. No, God's got to work for you to do today. And I challenge you and urge you to be mindful of your life. And that is just a vapor. We're here for only a few days and we'll be gone. 2 Peter in the first chapter, verse number 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance into heaven. Think about it. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, Peter is saying here, to put you always in remembrance. And I'm the same thing. I'm just like Peter. I want to continually to remind you of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I want to be like Peter and remind you to, with diligence, to make your calling and election sure. Because if you'll do that, you won't fall. You won't fail. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. And we ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts today with the word. God, let the word do its work that it's sent here to do. Lord, that it would show us this entrance that you're talking about into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We love you today and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Peter is saying here, give diligence. Diligence is with everything you got. Amen. With all that you have to make your calling and election sure. I ask you, what job or what was you hired for on your job that you worked for today, you know, and during the week? What position was you hired for? Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. What was you hired for in the kingdom of God? Amen. What are you called for in this great kingdom? We understand that in a business or a place of employment, that when we find ourselves there as an employee with no purpose, the boss looks around and he'll fire us. He says, I can do without them because they have no useful purpose in my business. They're not bringing me a profit. And so therefore I can do without them. Especially in times like now when the economy is in a shape that it's in. You know, I'm sure that employers are looking at their payroll and they're looking at finding ways that they could cut things. Amen? And so if you're one that has no purpose, you just show up every day and you have no legal purpose there that they are looking to probably get rid. They also look around at the equipment, and if the equipment is for no purpose, it's just costing them money and they're paying taxes on it every year and they're not being used. It's kind of like it's there for nothing. They will get rid of that equipment. Amen. So Peter is telling us here to give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. I found out a long time ago that whenever we will make our calling and election sure, if we're really doing what our calling is, it's kind of like enjoying your work. If you like your work that you do, you think about it, you never have to go to work. If you enjoy your job, if you enjoy the trade that you have, if you really enjoy it, you really never have to go to work. Amen? Because it's an enjoyment to you. You enjoy getting up in the morning and you're going. It may be tiring, but that's what you enjoy. But you ever done a job that you just despise to do? isn't it kind of drudgery? And you're almost like some Christian people I see that reminds me over there in the book of Samuel, in the first book of Samuel, where the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines. And at one time, and God, you know, visited with them, and they had all kind of bad things. And finally, they're going to send the Ark back to Israel, and they loaded on a cart, and they got these ox to begin to carry this cart, and they didn't like what they was having to do, these oxen, and the Bible said they went lowing as they went. It sounded like a lot of Christians. I gotta go to church. I gotta go teach Sunday school. It's church time again. It's Wednesday night. I mean, but if you enjoy what you do, amen, then that's your calling. And if you'll make your calling election sure, it won't be a drudgery. You won't be going, amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Romans in the 11th chapter, verse 29. See, a calling is who or what you are. Amen. I mean, a lot of times when people see me, They'll say, there goes the preacher. Because that's who I am. That's my calling. That's who I am. Amen. And I know my calling. I enjoy preaching. Amen. That's because it's my calling. Now, if it wasn't my calling, I would be all the time looking for somebody else to get up here and preach for me. There's some preachers that hardly ever preach. And they try to cut out services to keep from preaching. Why? Because it's not their calling. Amen. He said in Romans 11:29, he said, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, they're irrevocable. When God has got a call on you, my friend, and he wants you to do it, don't run from it. That is your call. And until you do what God has called you to do, your purpose, you'll never find happiness. I remember R.W. Shambach, a televangelist and tent revivalist. He's an older fella now, but he said when he was young and about 18 that he felt the call to preach the gospel. He felt God dealing with him to preach, and he ran from it, and he joined the Navy, and he got on a ship, and it went around the world to the other side of the world, and down to the bottom of that ship, and he thought he was away from God, and all of a sudden there's that voice again. You can't get away from it. You'll never find happiness until you give in to the purpose that you're designed for. You're designed for a purpose, and nobody can do that like you can really do it. People may substitute, but you're who God has designed to do that purpose. Amen. He said the gifts and calling of God without repentance. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, he says, foresee your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty after the flesh, not many noble after the flesh are called. Why? Because flesh, the Bible tells us, is the enemy of God. Flesh is not subject to the things of God. Flesh will not do what God wants you to do. And as long as you're being led by the flesh, you're not going to do what God has called you and designed you to do. But when you begin to be led by the Spirit, you begin to do your callings, and you'll take them serious, and you'll be with diligence to make your calling and election sure. You'll foundation that calling and do it. You see, there's a condition. There's a condition which callings finds one. It says in Ephesians 1 and 8, it says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When you're really in your calling, you really understand the importance of your calling. Come on, it's not just something that's filling time of your life. You'll understand the importance of doing what you're called to do. You'll understand the power that's in your calling. And nobody else can do it like you can do it. Amen. Because God has designed you to do it. I can't have a baby because God didn't design me to have a baby. He designed women to have babies. See, we all have a unique design in the kingdom of God. And he's designed every one of us to do a purpose. God named this ministry Deliverance Tabernacle Ministries with an S on the end. And it's plural because everyone has a ministry. And if you're not tapped into your ministry, there's untapped resources in your life that you need to tap into. Amen. He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of, what's that next word? His calling. You see, the anointing and this position as a pastor or preacher is God's calling. It's not mine. He's just given it to me and trusted me with it. Every calling is not yours. They belong to God. It's like on your job, when you go to work that day, that employer owns you for that amount of time. He pays you X number of dollars for you. He owns you. You become his for that length of time. Well, we're bought with a price and we belong to God. And he entrusts us with whatever purpose that he's designed us for. They're his callings. And he trusts us with them. Wow. I'm entrusted with this calling. God has confidence in me that I can perform it. Doesn't that make you feel special? Amen. It's his calling. It says over in Philippians, we got to always remember it's God's calling. Amen. He's entrusted us with it. Philippians 3 and 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. This is not just a calling like some stranger called you, but this is a high calling. I remember hearing a preacher say one time years ago, and he says, if somebody was to ask him to be president of the United States, would he be president? He said, well, I don't know. I think about it. I don't know if I want to step down for such a low position. Your calling is higher. Listen, I don't care if you're called to be the cleaner of this carpet here, but you're called by God. It is a higher calling than to be president of the United States of America. You ought to hold your head high. You have a high calling. Whatever position you have in the kingdom of God. If it's a preacher, which is a minister. You know, preachers are the smallest one. They're servants of all. I'm a servant. I'm your waiter. I'm waiting you today, just like the waitress or waiter at the restaurant serving you. But whatever it is, it's a high calling. Paul recognized it as a high calling of God. And he handled it that way. He knew it was important that he fulfill his calling, his purpose. Amen. He knew it was a high calling of God. It took responsibility of that. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1, he said, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Paul said, I pray that you would be found worthy to take this calling from God and work this calling on earth, that we'd be found worthy to do it. We think that God owes us. No, we owe God. Lord, please allow me this opportunity to work in the kingdom. Amen. I remember when I went to work at Alumax back in 1980. And I got a job there and they started us off and it seemed like it was about $6 or $7 an hour. In the very beginning, I went to work before they ever started the plant up. It was in construction type. And then a few months later, they started the plant up. They gave everybody a dollar hour raise. I thought, oh my Lord, can you believe this, Connie? A dollar an hour raise. I mean, 1980, you know, that was a lot of money. $7 or $8 an hour in 1980. Y'all don't understand. Y'all young people don't understand what I'm talking about. That's a lot of money. Amen. Boy, everybody, boy, just wanting to get a job there. Oh, if we could get a job there at that place, you know, aluminum plant, boy. I mean, boy, they paid outrageous money. And all these guys is graduating, you know, high school and coming in and some graduating college coming out there, you know, and they put them in there setting anodes, carbon in a hot pot. Takes no talent. He just had to withstand the heat. I mean, that's about it. It's no professional trade like electrician or plumber or different things like that. I mean, you know, and these guys are so grateful to get this job. I mean, oh yeah, we got it. We're so excited. Oh, I got this job. Ah, it's about like somebody getting saved.
Oh, praise God, I'm going to do a work for God. I'm going to do a work for God. Oh, I work hard. Yeah, I work. Oh, working hard for my money. Working hard for my money. I mean, they just haven't, you know. And years go by to get complacent and get kind of attitude-ish. Some of them guys get upset and say, after they done got up about, I don't know, $16, $17 an hour, and probably 20 now. I don't know what they make out there now, but oh, they're making it big money, you know. Still doing the same little job, you know. Nobody had an education can do. Well, I'll leave this place. They don't treat me right, and I'll go get me a job somewhere else. Where are you going to go get that kind of job, making that kind of money, setting down those? That's crazy. And that's the way church people get sometimes. We get complacent with our calling and our elections. That, oh, God, I don't need God. God needs me. I don't need that church. That church needs me. And boy, we get in trouble when we do that. Come on now. It is His calling. It is not mine. I need to understand it's a high calling. And I need to handle it like a treasure with the importance that I could lose this calling. Ooh, that you'd be counted worthy of this calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, he said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, our abilities, but according to His own purpose and grace. You're saved because God had a purpose for you. Amen. I'm not pumping you this morning. I'm deflating us today so that I can pump us back up. I'm going to see, to fix a tire, you got to let all the air out and you got to plug that hole. And once you get that patch on it, you can pump it back up again. Amen. Amen. Listen, God is good to us, isn't He? All the time. It's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. Look at the one next to you. Say it. You have a heavenly calling, a divine calling. Hebrews 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Amen. Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the selection or the calling wherewith you're called. That you handle it and walk worthy of this calling. Amen. That's what He's telling us to do. How many in this building today believe that you're called by God? Hold your hand up. You believe that you're called by God. Hold them up high now. Hold them up. Now, everybody, while the hands are up, look around. Look at the ones next to you on either side. Hold the hands up. Now, I want you to turn to them and ask them, how are you treating that calling that you got your hand raised up for? What you doing with it? Makes us think, don't it? Matthew 22:14 said, for many are called, but few are chosen. See, the call goes out. This morning, the call will go out to all in this room. There's churches all over America today. The call will go out. But few will respond and become chosen. It said in John 15:16, said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. You didn't wake up one morning, you that saved. I had no clue the morning I went to church I was going to get saved. I didn't have any idea, but God did. God had an idea. I want to use this boy. It's time for his purpose to come alive in him. He's walking around like a dead man. That purpose just doing nothing in him. And when I formed him in his mama's Rosetta Whitfield's womb, I put a purpose in him. It's time for that boy. Come on. I told you all some of the things I've seen, and I don't have time. I don't have time. I need to go back here. I want a medal here. It ain't metal. It'd been good, but y'all have to just keep coming. You'll hear it eventually. Many are called, but few are chosen.
I remember back early in this ministry when we was down in the little mobile chapel down the road, and we had prayer meeting, men's prayer meeting, and I don't know if there's anybody else there that night or not. I was there, and I remember praying, and then I was meditating on the Lord, and the Lord began to show me a vision. I mean, it's like watching a video. I could see it in my vision. And he showed me this field of wheat. And it was beautiful. It looked like it was about half harvested, you know, half the wheat cut down, half of it standing up. And I saw some workers out there. And I said, oh, it's a wheat field, and there's workers out there, Lord. That's nice. He said, now look a little closer. And it's kind of like, you ever got a camera, it's got to zoom. It's like it zoomed in. And I looked, and there was a couple of sickles laying on the ground. The workers all out here with sickles, and there was a couple laying down. And I looked, and I saw that sickle, and I said, oh, man, said, somebody's laid their sickle down. The Lord said, no, look a little bit closer too. And it zoomed on in on the workers, and every one of them in the field was women, long dresses with the bonnets. The Lord was showing me in the early ministry that we didn't have very many men. We had a lot of women, and the women was the backbone of the church. Had not been, we wouldn't be here. Amen? The Lord used. The Lord said, you got to depend on these women, David. And the Lord fulfilled that. I said that to say this, that sickle laying there. I believe, Sister Connie, that probably the reason this ministry was born is because a lot of other ministries laid their sickle down. They laid their standards down. Come on. They laid their callings and their gifts and their purpose down, and God had to raise up another ministry. That's what happens a lot of times. That's why sometimes you're having to do multitask in the church that God will give you the strength to do, because others have laid their sickle down and you multitask to get it done. Paul said over in 2 Timothy 3:10, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Goes on with other things, persecution and afflictions. He said, you've known my purpose. He said, I did my purpose among you. You knew what I was. You knew I fully made known to you my purpose, my manner of life, what I was all about, why I was here. Paul knew why he was called. Amen. Paul had a calling that was from God. It says in Romans in the first chapter, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He didn't wake up one morning and said, I think I'll become an apostle. I think I'll take on the trade of apostleship. No, God called him to be apostle. Amen. There in 1 Corinthians 1:2, it talks about the Corinthian church there. It said, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. You didn't wake up this morning. They didn't wake up one morning and said, I think I'll get saved today, and I think I'll just become a saint. No, it is a call from God that's made us saved and made us saints. Amen. That God gave us a call. That's where it's at. It is his callings, and we take on his attributes and take on what he's entrusted to us with. Like I said, John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you. I put the purpose within you, God says. Amen. Revelation 17:14, it says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are what? Called and chosen and faithful with their call, and faithful because they're chosen, faithful with their purpose. That's the ones with the Lord. How many wants to be with God? That's what we got to do. Amen. That's what we got to be. That's what he's telling us. He's telling us here in 2 Peter 1:10, make our calling and election sure. For if we do these things, we'll never fall. Paul was a chosen vessel. He was chosen with a purpose, and so are we. He said in Romans 9:11, he said, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." Not our purpose. So often in life we want to fulfill our purpose and then we give God the leftovers. Come on. I'm telling you, what if you took it and you knew God was going to come over Tuesday evening and eat dinner with you? Would you get a bunch of leftovers that y'all eat on all week long and say, "Well, that'll be good enough. We'll just serve them these leftovers here to him." Y'all wouldn't even do it if I was coming, much less God. I like leftovers. Amen. Collards ain't good to you. Turnips. I'd rather have turnips than collards, but I'll eat turnips. It's Bert Ellis or Mary cooks them. But listen, the more you cook them things and warm them over, the better they get. But would we think about it? If God was coming, say if me and Sister Connie was coming over to your house Tuesday evening for supper, and y'all say, and say, "Well," husband say, "Well, what you gonna cook, wife?" I said, "Well, I won't go cook nothing. I'm just gonna get a bunch of stuff left in the refrigerator down here and see what we got left over from all week long. Let's get this out, just warm it up." How many, would there be anybody in here that would do that? Come on now. you don't like warmed overs? Well, I tell you, bring all your leftovers to my house. In fact, you just get them ready. I'll come pick them up. I mean, we wouldn't do it with food. Why do we do it with our talents, with our purposes, with our life, with our soul? Why do we do it? Amen. Young people, y'all pay attention. This means for y'all too. You can talk after church. It says, what is a purpose? A purpose is a setting forth. Think about it. A purpose is a setting forth. Purpose means, listen, purpose is the same word in the Greek. Purpose is showbread. Showbread. Same word. Purpose, showbread. Now, we understand the showbread. We mentioned it last Sunday, did we not? The showbread in the holy place. Not the most holy, but the holy place. The showbread. The showbread is, when we look at it, it's a constant reminder of the continual presence of God. That's what the bread is. So it's a continual presence of God. But when we look at it as ourself, that is what showbread is, that we are always exposed before God. The bread was always exposed before God. Our purpose is always exposed before God. God is always watching us. He's always with us. Amen? So we're always exposed. Now think about bread. Show bread. Think about it. Think about our purpose. Show bread. If you don't eat and do your purpose, you will starve spiritually to death. You'll die. That's why he says, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. See, if you do your calling, you won't fall. If you get busy doing your calling, you'll never get discouraged. Come on now. It's the times in my life when I got complacent with my calling and kind of got just not really taking it serious that I begin to get sidetracked. When I'm on fire with my calling and I'm prayed up and I'm excited, my friend, I don't even see the discouragements around. There's plenty of discouragement in this world, let me tell you. You don't have to look far. In fact, you can see a lot of it in the church world, but you don't have to look far in the world out there to see discouragement. So you better encourage yourself in the Lord like David did in 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel, 30th chapter, I think it is. Amen. You'll starve spiritually to death not doing your purpose. That's why people fall. Purpose is a setting forth. It means in front of. It means before. What is your purpose this morning in the kingdom of God? I ask you, Why are you here? Why are you here today? Why? Why do we serve the Lord or say we serve the Lord? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Why? What are you here for? He said in Romans 8 and 28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. In other words, do His will. To them who are the called according to our purpose. Oh, that said His purpose, didn't it? Are we called with our purpose? See, a lot of people, they get churchy when they get in trouble. Oh, you let them, you know, get into some kind of trouble with the law and they'll be at church. Oh, church, y'all pray for me. They get some kind of health problem. Oh, church, y'all pray for me. That's fine. We'll pray for them. I'm not telling you don't do that. But they get some kind of problem in their life and you'll see them pop up. And you know what's in pastor's mind? I wonder what's going on in their life now. I had a cousin one time, and every time that her and her husband get in a situation, our phone would ring at the house, and it'd say, Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom. There'd be all kind of problems. They'd come over, Daddy, pray with them, give them scriptures, talk to them, kind of build their faith, help them, you know, get them back on their feet, and then, boom, you didn't hear no more from them for a year or two. And then all of a sudden, Uncle Tom, Uncle Tom, you know something's up. There's a scripture, isn't it? Something about, I laugh at your calamity. Galatians 1 and 15, it says, but when it pleased God, this is Paul talking here, because Paul was born with this purpose, the same way that me and you are born with this purpose, and we need to fulfill it. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. We need to fulfill a purpose that we have in us. And Paul said here, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. From in his mother's womb. What did he tell Jeremiah? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, who is Paul and who is Jeremiah and who are we? The same way. How many believe you got a calling? How many believe you got a purpose? Rest of y'all don't. All right, we'll start all over again. 2 Peter 1 and 10. What am I wasting my breath for? Now then, I'm going to ask you again. Don't make me come out there. How many believes you got a purpose in the kingdom of God? Yeah, about 80%. Rest of you sleep. No. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3:1, he says, to everything there's a season and a time. To everything there's an opportunity. To every purpose under heaven. There'll be an opportunity for you to do your purpose before you die. Now listen, the opportunities pass. Times and seasons pass. Amen. I mean, you don't have to go outside the door very far to realize winter has passed. Amen. A few months from now, y'all all have longer sleeves on, and you won't have to go very far to realize summer has passed. Opportunities pass, friend. And we have to take advantage of opportunities when they're in front of us. Amen. I mean, Sister Connie could have drove out of that station that day, and I never went out and asked her for that date. That opportunity would have passed. And she'd have been so happy. No. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3:17, it says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. There's an opportunity to do our purpose. See, book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was the wisest man other than Christ that walked on this earth. Amen. The wise man. He had plenty. And he searched out, why are we here? What's my purpose for this life? And he tried a lot of things in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said he tried women. He tried wines. He tried money. He tried houses. He tried lands, orchards, vineyards. Everything that you can think of experiences in life to see where satisfaction was. Mick Jagger should have been there with him because he can't find no satisfaction. And so at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon pins down this while we're here. He said, let us hear the conclusion, verse 13, of the whole matter. Whole matter of what? Of life, our purpose. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to judge us by our purpose. I mean, when he looks at us, we can't hide that purpose. He said, what'd you do with that purpose that was in you that I gave you? I mean, when I was at Alumax and I would give guys their jobs for that day and issue them out, and they go out and they come back at the end of the day. If it came back in, say, well, I didn't do any of it. Well, what do you think your purpose was today? Just walk around. Think about it. At the end of the day, if we don't fulfill our purpose, what good is life? What if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Purpose. A setting forth. There's a story in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. I don't have time to go into all the story. Just read the story and find it for yourself in there. But the story gets to a place where Naomi and one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, comes back to Israel. You all know the story there. And she had a kinsman redeemer. So about then that there was a widow indeed that the people would take responsibility and take care of them. And Boaz had a field. And back there, the law told them that when they had a field of wheat or crop, whatever, they would leave the four corners or all the corners for the poor. And whatever, when the reapers would reap, whatever fell to the ground, the gleaners could go out and glean that field. That was, don't go and pick it up. That's for the gleaners, for the poor. Okay? Well, they got permission from Boaz to glean his field. And what the poor would do would go out there in their baskets, and they would scrape a little stuff, little crumbs here, just scrape it all up and get the dirt out of it and pick up little meaty pieces here and there and wherever they could find little scraps of wheat. Kind of like that. They had to work for it, didn't they? They didn't sit on the front porch and somebody bring it to them. I kind of like that, Lord. You got this thing figured out, ain't you? The man don't work, neither should he. But it says, Boaz looked out, and Boaz is like Christ. He's our kinsman redeemer. And he looked out there, and he spotted old Ruth in the field. And he told his workers, he says, when you're gleaning the field, take little handfuls of purpose. Little handfuls and throw them out there as you're going along, you know. Little pile of it there, you know. Little handfuls of purpose. And so what Ruth would do, she would come and pick up them handfuls of purpose. Glean means to pick up. That's what glean means, to pick up. To pick up your calling. To pick up your purpose. So that you don't starve spiritually. Amen. That's what it's saying. To pick up your calling, your purpose. To stir up the gift of God that's in you. He said in Haggai in the first chapter, verse 4, listen to it. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house? lie waste? Is it time in the day that we're living, in the life that you're living, to be more important about all the other stuff that you got to be, Martha, rather than to be like Mary and choose that good part which shall not be taken away her? I mean, life has a way of distracting us with so much stuff that we would never do a work for God. It has a way of doing that. Life will always give you something else to do rather than to do what God wants you to do. And then when the end of the day, all you have is leftovers to give God. And so we bring leftovers to God. We come on Sunday morning with leftovers. We come on Sunday night with leftovers. And we don't even come Wednesday night, because we ain't got no leftovers. Those of you taking notes, Malachi 1, verse 6 through 8, talks about a son honoreth his father, serveth his master. But if I be a father, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Verse 7 talks about, ye offered polluted bread on my altar. He said, where have we polluted thee? And the Lord said, in that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. It means disdained. In other words, it doesn't matter. Said, you offer polluted bread when you say, it don't matter about what I do for God. As long as I got to get my stuff together, though. Got to have my stuff together. But whatever it is for God, it don't matter. He said, you have done wrong. It does matter. It does matter. He said, if I be a master, where's my fear? If I be a father, where's my honor? He says, verse 8, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Oh, Lord, we don't offer blind. Yeah, what we do? Just any old thing will do. It don't matter. It don't matter if the sheep blind. It don't matter if it got scabs on it. I mean, it's just to be sacrificed anyhow. It don't matter. It's just church. It's just old church people there. It don't matter. I wonder, is any other preacher preaching this morning? I'd venture to say that most of us in here live better than a lot of other church people. But I'm not going to judge ourselves by others, because it says you become a fool when you do that. We have to judge ourselves by God and the standard of God. It does not matter what he does or she does. It's a matter of what I do. Amen. He said, offer it to your governor. Offer it to your employer. Yeah, I thank you for this job. I mean, I know the rest of y'all, Mr. Boffman, work, you know, Monday through Friday. But I'm just telling you now, I ain't going to work Tuesday and Thursdays now. But I'll come Monday if I feel like it. And I'll come Wednesday and Friday. If nothing else comes up, I'll be there. But Friday evening, I'll be there to get my check now. I want my check now. Offer it to your governor. Offer the same way that we do our purpose on our jobs to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God to what we do on our jobs. Our boss won't stand and judge us. God will. Thus come the instruments. Matthew 22:1, it says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage of his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My ox and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. Mm. Troubled at verse 7 says, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers that burned up their cities. And he said unto the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go therefore to the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out to the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And the king came in to see the guests. When he saw their man not having on the wedding garment, he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And said the king unto the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will and the purpose of my Father, which is in heaven, is what he's talking about. Matthew 12:50 says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. We need to glean our purpose today. He said to give all diligence, with diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You shall never fall. If we do what we're supposed to do. Amen. In other words, he said, you won't miss heaven. That's what it's all about. On your job, if you do your job, you won't never get fired. If you work extra hard on your job, when it comes time for layoff, you're not going to get laid off. That man will keep you. You're making him a good living. Amen. So we got to glean our purpose. What does glean mean? Pick it up. Pick it up. Now you might have it in you, but it's laid down in you. Remember what Paul told Timothy? Stir up that gift. How many has ever seen one of them little things that you shake and it's like snow all in there? You shake it, that's stirring it up. It's everywhere. You come back in a few minutes and ain't a bit in there, is it? It's all gone. It disappeared. No, it just needs shaking up. It's in you. It just needs shaking up. You need to stir yourself. Amen? How many believes that? How many believes I'm a mean preacher? Three of you? Okay. Ed had both hands up. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. Why tell you the truth? Y'all got to understand, I heard it when I was studying it, and I heard it again. I have to get it twice. Y'all have to pay to get it again. No, it's free. If you don't have a dollar, get a CD. Give diligence, diligence, diligence. I'll give y'all a little task to do. Why don't you do your study on diligence this week? Won't you do that? He said in Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See, a lot of people seek him, but few diligently seek him. Which are we? Diligent. Do your study on that this week. And I want you to get in your mind, just close your eyes right now, just for a moment. I asked you a while ago, how many believe you have a call and you're called by God? You raise your hands and then people ask, what are you doing? How are you treating that calling? What was the first thought that came to your mind when he said, how are you treating your calling? What was your thought? Now, if your thought was, I think I need to do better. When I ask you to stand, I want you to come up here and I want you to, by coming, you're gleaning, you're picking your purpose up. I want you to pick your purpose up this morning. And I want you to begin to use that word diligent and begin to get diligent with it. I want you to get excited and so excited and turned on about your calling that it's a a heavenly, divine calling that God has trusted you with for this space of time we're on this earth. And the seasons will change. The opportunities will be gone if we don't take advantage of it. Our life will be over before we know it. Are you ready? On three, here we go. One, two, three. Stand all over the building.